Okay.
Yeah. But this is Lydia. I would just like to move to refer.
No. Lydia is not on the queue. Lydia is not on the queue. I am speaking.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. I'll be on the queue. That's all.
You are. You are, after all, Paul. So we have Tracy, R. Paul, and Lydia.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay. I would like to make a motion, and I would like to motivate it. So let me put the motion on the floor, and then if it's okay, I'll just take a second or two to motivate it. The motion is as follows. Due to lack of bylaws mandated notice to all KPFK LSB members, the September 16th vote of the KPFK local station board on the presentation of a program director pool is declared null and void. That's the motion. To motivate it, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, that the meeting notice did not at any point refer to a program director pool. In fact, a draft agenda was sent to the members of the LSB stating that there would simply be a discussion of the program director hire process. That is purposely deceptive. Secondly, according to the chair of the search committee, as many as 8 to 10 members of the LSB may not have had access to all of the resumes and have not listened to the audio interviews with the candidates. I understand that Lydia has a different number. I don't know which number is accurate. My argument would be that one is too many. And if it is, in fact, close to 10, it's kind of absurd. The third thing that I would say is there was no counter or counting ability present at the meeting. So the ballots were examined by the chair. The data on the ballots, in other words, candidate B, number one, candidate C, number two, candidate A, number three, and so on, were hand-typed into an email and sent to someone with a request to count it, which as an election process is kind of insane. And I guess the ballots are in the custody of someone, but no one is quite sure who for 30 days.
Yes, John Gary, the secretary.
Excuse me, I'm continuing
please.
On, Lydia. But the ballots are in the custody of one individual by report. They haven't been counted. And again, the data on the ballots is being put through email, which again, is from a process point of view, not the way you run an election. And only 12 members of the LSB, which is half, actually filled out a ballot. It seems to me that with all of these things, you don't have anywhere near an election process or a pool process that can stand up to any kind of scrutiny. God forbid you have a lawsuit. And it seems to me that you are obligated to observe that this election was not done in a proper manner. So that's the motion. It's on the floor. Thanks.
Tracy, would you state the motion again? Because there were other elements what you spoke to other than the lack of notice. So would you say again
Correct.
What the motion is on the floor?
Yes. And I kept the motion simple because I'm generally in favor of motions that don't go on and on. And the motion says, due to lack of bylaws mandated notice to all KPFK LSB members, the September 16th vote of the KPFK local station board on the presentation of a program director pool is declared null and void. And I will go ahead and forward to the members of the committee the draft agenda for the closed session for that meeting, which was sent out 24 hours prior to the meeting, which does not mention that a vote is planned on the program director pool.
Okay. That's what's on the floor. Paul, did you want to speak to that?
Yes.
Yeah, and let me just say that if people feel, based on the information, that they want to amend the motion slightly, of course, that's in order. But that's the initial motion that I'm putting on the floor. Thanks.
Arpul?
Okay. First of all, yeah, this is more Pacifica stuff. I mean, geez, you know, in the in the 8.5 years we've had this governance, this just keeps getting repeated in various different cities at various different times. This is the stuff that's going to kill Pacifica. I have to say now, if this was an executive session, which it sounds like it would have to be, if you're putting people's names out, I hope nobody was putting candidates' names out for in or out of a pool in open session, because that would be lawsuit time as well. And if there wasn't a specific notice of an executive session and saying what it is, then that entire executive session would automatically be null and void because, well, either it would be null and void or we'd have a more serious problem with the CPB and the FCC and various other initialed organizations that Pacifica has to answer to. And so, you know, this is just on the basis of that. If it sounds like something that should have been an executive session, and somebody said earlier it wasn't noticed as executive session, and the detail of what was going to happen at the executive session wasn't done, it doesn't matter even if the LSP members knew about it. The general public is required to be told, we're going to have an executive session, and, you know, it's going to be on personnel issues or, you know, buying a new helicopter, I don't know, something like that, whatever. And so that is a requirement. And if you don't do it, that's a problem. And again, yeah, lawsuits are something we have to watch out for because we have an economy where people really want to get jobs. They don't want to feel screwed out of a job. And there might even be people who would say, well, look, you know, if I'm not going to get the job anyway, I might as well sue them and get something out of this. So you got to be really careful. And people, you know, Pacifica hijinks as usual is going to kill us all. So that's all I have to say.
Lydia.
And the notice on executive session, which specified PB, you know, search discretion or something, again, I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, that aside, I think that, I'll be voting against this. I think we're definitely going to have a revote. I haven't spoken to anyone that is not in favor of having a revote for this, so I think this is moot anyway. But, however, I wouldn't say that it's nullified. It was properly noticed. It was discussed for months that we were going to be voting for this. And we've had at least two LSB meetings that I know of where it's their side that boycott the meetings and don't show up, and that's their way of slowing things down. So it goes all kinds of ways. But I absolutely do believe that we are going to move forward with another vote, that I will not vote to nullify the one that existed. These bylaws that we operate under were born out of a draft vote that the court later rightly said there's no such thing. The chair can't call for a straw vote. And on the backs of four directors from WPSW who abstained, not realizing that meant not present voting, in essence. And so that's how we got, you know, the bylaws. So several members that were present from the other side left once in protest, presumably, and one didn't vote, and two decided to stay. So, you know, what can I say? The nature of the beast. But I don't see a big problem here. I don't think it should be nullified. But nothing is being turned over to the GM because I think it's out of consideration for the other side, but not because we have to. Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Yeah, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
This motion is the opposite of the way to settle conflicts in Pacifica. You know, it's a really, really rare and extraordinary remedy to come to a national board committee and ask for revoking or overriding or reversing a local board action. And that really needs to come after the remedies have been exhausted locally. And we just heard Lydia described that there's a lot of people supporting reopening this matter at the local level. So, first of all, it's premature for it to come before this committee. And second of all, even if it was something that could be looked at by this committee. We couldn't possibly make a decision based on one person who's not even from the signal area purporting to give the account of what happened, and there's nothing in writing. We've never seen any of this before or heard it until tonight, and we're supposed to just judge from, you know, he said, she said, as to what really happened and what's right and what's wrong. It's, you know, it has nothing to do with due process or fairness. I mean, if we're really going to operate, if we're really going to reverse a local board decision, then it seems like we need to hear formally from both sides, you know, from the board chair or the representative of the board chair and from somebody who's contesting what the board did, and, you know, operate it with full chance for dialogue back and forth and for asking questions and seeing all the relevant documents. None of that is happening, nor can it happen tonight. So I think this motion is really ill-advised, and I move to table the motion.
Okay, we'll call that postpone indefinitely.
Okay.
All right. Is there anyone else who wants to speak to this?
Yes.
John?
Yeah. Well, this is pretty much late-breaking news. This is Monday evening. This thing happened less than 48 hours ago, Saturday, 2 days ago. I've heard lots of information tonight that I've never heard before. It would have been great to have had somebody, you know, it would have been great. Well, I'll just say it. It would have been nice if Lydia had sent me an email or a phone call to say, hey, John, you know, how about this? You know, I can imagine you might be a little concerned because you left the meeting in, without voting. But this reaching out did not occur. And it was because that reaching out to establish camaraderie and consensus, and that just didn't happen. And that's why I'm really asking for guidance. I mean, this is, in fact, a National Governance Committee, and governance is the provenance of the Governance Committee, and this is certainly a governance issue. The fact is these actions did occur, and up until tonight's discussion, I thought that the votes were going to be counted, even though there was no proper chain of custody, and the results would be communicated to the general manager, et cetera, et cetera. And that may still happen. I don't know. There could be an error. So I don't think this is premature at all. I was behaving based on the latest information that I had, which I got on Saturday afternoon. And no new information came in the meantime. And we all have each other's phone numbers and emails. So I just have to think that it probably wasn't going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just judging based on the data that I've seen, the observations that I've made. So I really think, too, that there's a notion here. I mean, the fact that this happened once, it's like an attempted rape. Maybe we need a policy against rape, you know, to say, hey, rape is not okay. We have to have proper notice. I think that's the intention of the bylaw. And the fact that we had this thing happen suggests that there's a problem. And if it happened once, it can happen again. It probably will happen again. So let's consider this from the governance of preventing more rape attempts. Keep this from happening again. Let's figure out a way proactively to stop happening again. Because, and as R. Paul Martin has said, this stuff has been happening for years. Well, I don't know the details, but I bet it has. I turn that. So this will be proactive to figure out how to do this.
I'd like to take exception to the word rape. It really diminishes what that actually means in the real world.
Okay, I'll accept that thing. Let me think of another word. I object to the committee chair using brute force in a Robert's Rules of Order sense to get his way unfairly and to disenfranchise most of the board, half the board, particularly three directors of the national board who did not get a chance to even know that a vote was occurring.
I have a couple of questions, points of information I'd like to ask. Lydia and Ken, I gather you were both there. Is that correct?
Ken was not there.
Not there. So, Lydia and John, you're the only ones who were actually there, who were present on the committee. Is that right?
That's
anyone
correct.
Else?
Okay. Brenda was there, too, but she's not on the call.
Okay. So, Lydia, I didn't quite understand what you said. Was it actually noticed as an executive session?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And last month it was noticed as an executive session when we were going to deal with these issues and come up with a wording to report out on what we had decided the month before on the same PD search. All of it's about PD search. That's the only issue we've been dealing with in executive session for three or 4 months.
Can I respond to that, too?
Well, I have another question.
Wait, George, you took an answer from one person. How about an elaboration from the second person so we have some fairness?
I heard you agree that it was an executive session.
There was more information imparted than that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the purpose of the meeting was for discussion of the candidates for the Twilight Zone. And what happened was that part was noticed and was proper. The discussion, however, was truncated to a small amount. Each person got 90 seconds to discuss in depth the candidates for the manager, the director of the Twilight Zone, 90 seconds for detailed discussion, and then they went to a vote, which was not noticed.
One other question of either one of you. Had the LSB at a previous meeting voted to have a subcommittee produce the names which were going to be forwarded to the general manager for selection?
The motion originally back in the day did not specify that it would not come back to the LSB, just that the committee would, do what it's been reporting that it's doing and propose timelines and so forth, and then it comes to the LSB as our PD motion specifies, the PMB PD motion. And the bylaws, by the way. So that's what happened.
So there was no indication that the selection of three people by the committee had already been approved by the LSB. It was just a matter of this committee was going to come back with some number of people.
George, out of fairness, I really think that you should not just ask Lydia.
I'll ask the same question of you in just a moment, please.
Well, you didn't tell me that's what you're doing. This sounds very judicial.
George, now that everybody seems to know what we're talking about, I think that since the LSB has never reported out on the size of the pools and all of that stuff, I think this is really inappropriate. This is strictly executive session material, so I agree that we need to table this. This should not be in public session right now.
George, I'd like my chance to respond.
Go ahead.
Because I'm not taking notes here, I really like to respond in real time. The fact of the matter is these are complicated issues, and it's not useful. It's not easy to keep all this stuff bounced around in one's head. The fact of the matter is that the P&B operated after the fact. In the past, at KPFK, search committees have reported stuff out and reported them to the LSB, and then that information's gone to either the ED or the general manager, whichever. And then the P&B, motivated by Lydia, wrote out a new policy to amend this whole procedure, and so now it is true because the motion you passed on the P&B happened within the last year, and this is new stuff. and just look at the dates of it. I mean, it's in your minutes, in the PNB minutes. And so it absolutely is true. And I didn't interrupt you. I only asked if I'd be allowed to speak, you know, in response to each of George's questions. And so please don't interrupt me either. And then the other thing is, with regard to this whole thing, is I brought this up nicely and neatly as a hypothetical search for the director of the Twilight Zone department. It was Lydia who very cleverly said, oh, well, we're not going to do this hypothetically. Let's talk about what it is. And now she's insisting that we go into executive. We cannot talk about this because this properly deserves an executive session because she let the cat out of the bag, which is, I think, is a dirty trick.
John, you're implying motives for Lydia. And
Listen, she's bright as hell. The fact is, I sanitized it for a reason, and Lydia is intelligent, extremely intelligent. She should have kept the confidence.
As far as I know,
in any event, the point is, no proprietary information has been given out in this call, and need not if we're careful.
Okay. Well, I think I'd like to move to a vote on the question of postponing.
George, I was trying to get recognized earlier.
Okay. No. Sorry, Bill, I didn't hear you. Good.
Okay. I guess this is more a question for John since he was there. Just to clarify, I'm reading the executive session agenda that was just sent out to us a few minutes ago. The only thing, executive session agenda, I assume this is what was sent to all the LSB, was roll call, program director search discussion, and then report out on prior executive sessions in this one. So
yeah, that's correct.
It only says search discussion, doesn't say anything about vote or selection or choosing or anything like that, right?
That's correct,
the
and that's the basis for my complaint.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to the question of postponing this?
Yes, I would.
Okay, Tracy.
Tracy. I guess the simple question is postpone it to when? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of postponing it? By the time this committee gets back to it, it will likely have been settled through other channels anyway. The governance committee is the proper place to deal with issues of notice. There has been a violation of notice in this case, as you can see from reading the email. I don't understand what the postponement is expected to accomplish, except to make this conversation go away, which I think, as our poll provided some pretty good reasons for making it not go away, because we do this over and over again, and it never ends well, and our hiring processes end up compromising. There are real people who applied for that job a very long time ago that we are not treating with respect, cordiality, or anything vaguely resembling fairness. Some of our own employees are involved. I really think postponing this is highly, highly irresponsible, unprofessional, and to be honest, however people want to vote on the main motion, yes or no, they should certainly do so. But postponing it is simply should be not an option.
Let me say that postponing it was a device that I'm using so we can discuss whether or not to do that. Actually, Bob wanted to table it, and I'm not quite sure how you can table something in a committee. So it would essentially take it off out of discussion. It would send it off into limbo. So if that's people's intention, then you should vote for postponing. If not, vote against it, and we'll go and take the vote on the motion. Anyone else want to discuss the question of postponing it?
This is Bob.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that, again, that we've heard that there is a move to reconsider this at the KPFK level. So the point of taking this off the table right now is to see if this can be resolved locally, which is always preferable in any situation. And certainly within Pacifica, it's supposed to be based on local board determinations and only in extreme and, you know, really thoroughly documented case where there's been a full airing of both sides should there be an override of a local decision. So it's not ripe yet for that when there's a process that's going to go on to revisit it and reconsider it. So, you know, that's the main issue right now. And plus, we don't have all the responsible parties here tonight. So it's premature, and, you know, talk about no notice. This is a classic example. This motion is being offered as a quasi-judicial type of thing. Like, you know, the court of the governance committee hereby finds that a certain action was illegitimate. And, well, okay, if you're going to play that game, then you have to go through the full process. You have to hear from all the affected parties what their side of the story is, have time for questions, see all the documents. None of that has happened, and none of that can happen tonight.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Our poll.
Get our poll.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes folks want things to go through at the speed of light, and at other times the speed of molasses in January is preferred. I think I'm going to vote against postponing it, and we should vote on the motion, because if we say, oh, well, people are going to resolve it locally, well, that doesn't say anything. And I think at some point in Pacifica, people, whether it's on a committee or the entire PNB or parts of an LSB, need to say, look, let's, you know, try and do these things a little more fairly than they're getting done, and, you know, stop the rather unfortunate way things have been done in the past and the way people have been treated in the past, and some things are not acceptable, and it's good to make a statement like that. That's all.
Anyone else want to speak to the question of postponing? Okay, I'm going to take the roll on it. So a yes vote is to postpone indefinitely. A no vote is not to do that, in which case we'll take the vote on the motion will be up for this further discussion if people want to discuss it. So Ken Aaron. So yes is to postpone, no is not to. Ken? Okay. Carolyn Burden. Can anyone hear me? Please say so if you can.
I hear you.
Yeah. Yes, we hear you.
Okay, fine. Carolyn Burden. Lydia Brezon.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No, and we could not hear Karen and Carolyn.
I'll
go back, Ken. I'm
back,
ready.
Back and get them at the end. Sasha Futran. Somebody's got a crowd in the background. Please mute it, unless you're about to vote. Sasha Futran. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
No to postpone.
John Wenger.
No to postpone.
Marcel Reed.
No. Yes, postpone. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes. R. Paul Martin.
No.
Ken Aaron.
And I don't
no.
Carolyn Burden. Carolyn, are you there? Okay. Sasha Futran. Okay, so I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's and 1, 2, 3 yeses. So the motion to postpone fails. Do we want to? Is there any?
I call the vote. I'd like to call the vote. It's getting late. We don't have to keep talking about it.
You can't call a vote in a committee. Does anyone else want to speak to the issue? Tracy, would you read it again? And whoever's got the crowd in the background, please, thank you. Please mute it.
Yes, rereading the motion. Due to lack of bylaws mandated notice to all KPFK LSB members, the September 16th vote of the KPFK Local Station Board on the presentation of a program director pool is declared null and void.
Okay. We'll take the vote. Is any objection to going to a vote on that? Good. Okay, so a yes vote, you support the motion, a no vote, you don't. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Marilyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Sasha Futran. Bob Lederer.
No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes on the motion.
John Wenger.
Yes on the motion.
Marcel Reed.
No.
R. Paul.
Yes.
Did I miss anybody?
Yes, Brenda from KPFK.
Oh, Brenda, welcome.
Hi.
How do you vote?
Sorry,
do you want to vote on this? Do you know what we're doing?
Yeah, I heard. I semi-heard the motion. Could you repeat it one more time?
Tracy, if you would.
Yes. Hold on. I think this is the fourth time. Okay. Due to lack of by-mandated notice to all KPFK LSB members, the September 16th vote of the KPFK Local Station Board on the presentation of a program director pool is declared null and void.
Do you want to vote?
I vote
no. I'm sorry, no. Tracy, Brenda, do you want to vote? Brenda?
Yes. I want to vote, and I'm voting no.
Okay. Okay, so there are... and four no's. The motion passes. Next item on the agenda is the failure of, apparently the failure of, at least, well, Lydia, I'll let you speak to it. Tell us, has to do with the noticing the bylaws having been posted on the Pacifica website.
Well, it was posted. I sent a reminder to Otis, John, and Summer on September 1st because it needed on the 2nd, and then John and Otis assured me that they had put it on some kind of an automatic timer for the bylaws to post to the Pacifica.org site, and so that was done. And but the parts that needed to start running on September 2nd, which of course we can't direct staff to do so, but anyway, there was no notice to any of the general managers or program directors or whoever would be putting the carts together at the stations to make that happen. The bottom line is that we have missed the whole timeline. You can't restart it. And this convinced me, even though, George, you know that I did not support having a second cycle of bylaws amendments possible in the bylaws, and this convinced me that the next time that issue comes up, I'm signing on to it, because if that were present, we would still be able to salvage it. We would be able to start the clock, you know, tomorrow, a couple of weeks late, and we'd still be able then to have smaller PMB boards, but now we can't, so... So I propose that at the next meeting we develop a new timeline for next year's bylaws, because they can only happen once a year. So,
let me understand what you're saying. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Okay.
Which is that by virtue of the failure of the I guess it would be the ED who should be doing that.
The Pacifica National Board Chair, but either way it's the same person.
Either way it's the same person. To actually let the general managers know that they're supposed to be putting these carts up, The carts haven't gone up, even though the notification is out there.
But it's not out. It's on the Pacifica National Board website a little bit more prominently now in the past couple since about 3 or 4 days ago. But when they were first put out on the 2nd, it wasn't prominent because, of course, we had the elections. The ED's press release was still on there, so it was hard to find anyway. So I don't think that the managers would have even seen it. You have to click on bylaws and then go to the link and then look for it. So, but now it's prominent. But
point of information.
Just Tracy for the stack at some point.
I heard Carolyn too. Tracy first, and then Carolyn. Carolyn, do you want to be on the stack?
And Bill. Point of information for me, though. Mm-hmm.
Tracy, okay. What's your point of information, Carolyn?
How many days were we out of compliance?
The cycle started September 2nd, and you have to announce for 60 days.
How many days then are we out of compliance? When did the notice go up?
September 2nd. That was the notice day.
So we are not out of compliance now.
Let me say what I think the issue is here. It's clear that the bylaws call for both 60 days of putting it on the air twice a day, as well as posting it 60 days in advance. So there's a 60-day period where people can find out what's going on. The first of those apparently hasn't happened, and I don't know that it's happened yet. That is to say, there have been no notices on the air, that there have been bylaws happening to be considered. And so the question, it seems to me, is, does that void the whole process? My own feeling is...
Exactly how many days?
Well, my full feeling is right now about the 2nd, and today is the 17th, so that's 15 days. We have 45 days if we got it done tomorrow.
Out of compliance, which is less than 25.
And we're 15 days out of compliance. That's correct.
Thank
you. So, Tracy, and then Bill, I think it was. Is that
okay.
Clear?
Well, here's my feeling for what it's worth. It's unfortunate that it happened and that we're 15 days out of compliance with the carts. It is important to note that the website posting, the notes, did happen on time. So we're only partially out of compliance. My argument would be that if we run the carts from, say, September 19th to November 19th, we will, in fact, have been running them for 60 days. And I believe the obligation is for all of the LSBs to vote in the month of November. So my sense is we can probably continue. The only thing is that some of the carts would be airing simultaneously to the 30-day voting window, and that strikes me as a fairly minor lack of compliance if, in fact, we can get these carts up in rotation in the next 48 hours, which should be possible. I really don't see any reason why we can't proceed. It is vaguely possible that someone might sue us because we were 15 days out of compliance. I don't know. I don't know why they would. And frankly, I think if you state you had an executive and therefore you would be late, that
was... Tracy, the last part of what you said dropped out. Would you just say
sorry,
it again?
Sorry. It's always possible that someone can sue you because the carts were 14 days late, and in no way am I saying, based on my own Pacifica experience, that people don't sue over the stupidest things in the world. But that said, my guess is that if you told the court you had an executive transition and therefore the carts ran 2 weeks late, that the world would not come to an end, and more than likely the bylaws amendments would not be overturned by any court in the land if they were, in fact, approved by 3 out of 5 LSBs and the PNB and the members of the PNB. So, to me, I don't know where...
Whoever's got that music in the background, please, please, thank you. Oh, you're still there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm...
So, to me, it seems a bit like making a mountain out of the molehill. Perhaps we should be looking at getting back into compliance as quickly as possible rather than jumping the whole thing.
Okay. Bill.
Okay, first, I think I've heard it announced on KPFT. I don't know if there was actually a notice or directive sent to the GMs or not, but I think I've heard it more than once announced there. So it may have happened at other stations too, but you know, I don't know if it's been logged or recorded, but you know, the intention of the bylaws seems to make sure that there's enough announcements, and it says twice a day for 60 days. So it's 120 announcements. It seems like it's easy versus just throw in some additional announcements, make sure they're at different times of day, which is probably even better than it always at the same times. And I think that would more than serve the intention of that notice requirement in the bylaws. We've still got 45 days or something like that to go, and so if you're broadcasting three times a day, for example, at least for a while, then that would seem to be more than compensate for any possible lack of enough announcements in the last couple of weeks.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get an opinion from the attorney because we have to send this to the attorney general with our changes, and so we need to certify that everything was according to the bylaws when we do that. But that aside, I don't know if the proposal, and I have two bylaws amendments in there. No one's more motivated than me to try to find out a way to make this happen, but by the same token, I don't want issues down the road, so I suggest that we send the question to our council. But also, Tracy had suggested running them for 60 days, having our PMB meeting, I guess, in November 19th, and that would only allow till the end of November for the LSBs to vote since it has to be in the same month. So I don't know but what Bill was saying, I think, was something else. He was saying run them for 120 times, and then I think he was saying, I'm not sure it's a question, to keep to the same schedule of November 1st. So that's a question to both.
Love it.
Yes.
And a recommendation that we ask counsel.
So the question is, are we likely to get sued if we do either one of those things, as opposed to canceling the bylaws altogether, which I also do not want to see happen?
I'm not putting out that we're going to get sued. I'm just saying let's ask counsel. But I do have a question for each of the both Tracy and Bill. I don't know what the intent was.
Tracy, what was the intent of your suggestion?
My intent was that we run the carts starting, you know, presumably, I don't know, Wednesday, maybe realistic, this week, run them for the required 6 days.
I got to make sure I got my glasses.
And you're live on the stream.
Run them for the required 60 days, encourage the LSBs to hold special meetings if they can between the end of that 60-day period and the end of November if they're not able to. Then I would suggest that if they go ahead and vote at their regularly scheduled November meetings during the last 1 to 2 weeks of the carts, that would not be a, what's the word? That would not be a deal-breaking lack of compliance, as far as I'm concerned.
Violation.
Because the carts would have already ran from the middle of September all through the month of October into early November, and we would really just be talking about a matter of a couple of days of simultaneity. And at least for me, that strikes me as not something in which we would have protracted or extensive legal liability. So that's what I'm suggesting. I think Bill.
I'm sorry. She didn't answer my question.
Excuse me, Lydia. Let me finish. I think Bill's suggestion is also valid, and it may be a question for the attorney which of the two remedies they think is better, but that's the remedy I'm putting out. Thanks.
Okay. And Bill, would you like to respond to Lydia's question?
Yeah, my intention was to keep to the same schedule, and my interpretation of the bylaws is just to make sure there's an adequate number of announcements, and that could easily be done by just adding additional ones, more than two per day. So that we could have more than 120 between now and November 1st. I'd like to remind everybody, by the way, that if we have to do what Tracy said, I'll go along with it. But Thanksgiving week is that fourth week in November, and it may be hard to get some of the LSBs to want to meet then. They may have to meet the last week in November, which is, I guess, possible, but that, you know, narrows down the window.
Okay, this is Lydia. Now that I have clarification, I can opine.
Okay. Does anyone else would like to opine who hasn't spoken yet? Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Of those two options, and again, I really think we should have it vetted by council, but I would go with Bill's because the PMB has to vote first. So the LSB, first of all, has to be the delegate, the assembly of delegates, but it can't just at any meeting that it wants to prior to the PMB voting on the bylaws. So if we allow the cards to run for 60 days and then we follow the schedule, which was for the PMB to vote, what was it, Bill, on the first, I think? It's not before me.
Yes.
Then it allows the full month for the LSBs to vote. So I would say if we're going to breach the protocol that's prescribed, what's prescribed in the bylaws, that we go with Bill's recommendation, which is just to run the equivalent number of cards.
I'd like to speak to the issue myself. I basically agree. I think what Bill is suggesting is a good faith effort to notify people, and that's the whole sense of the bylaw. It isn't the case that the PMB has to vote first. It makes sense that it does, but the way the bylaws are written, actually, it could happen in any order at the moment. What my suggestion is that we do, I hear a kind of consensus that we do, in fact, need to get a legal opinion on this. And that I forward the two suggestions that we've had, unless there's a third, to somewhere to pass on to the to our counsel to try to get a response from him by Thursday. Is that acceptable? Is there any objection to doing that?
This is Bob.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not an objection. It's just it's a disagreement with the idea put forward by a couple people that there could be a substitute for the bylaws requirement of twice-a-day announcements for 60 days. First of all, I don't think that's the intent of the bylaws at all. It doesn't say, you know, 120 announcements. It says 60 days. But second of all, on a more practical level, we just had a discussion in the Elections Committee last night about the fact that at least at one station, and we've heard in the past from other station managers, have said there's a really serious difficulty complying with the PNB's existing policy requiring every candidate's card to be played 30 times during the campaign period. That's for each individual candidate. So you multiply that times at some stations this year, it's 40 candidates. And there's, you know, some serious practical issues, especially when fund drives intervene. So the motion that was reported out was to the PNB was to reduce that to 20. But my point is that aside from the fact I think it's really undercutting the bylaws' intent when it says twice a day for 60 days, it's also putting a just about impossible demand on local station management to now, in addition to candidate cards, to run three or four times a day an announcement about bylaws. It's not going to happen. And so then, once again, you're going to be out of compliance. So I don't think that's a good solution. I don't have the perfect answer. I do agree the attorney should weigh in, but I don't think that's the right approach.
Let me say it wouldn't be that much. It would be, you know, for 15 days you'd have to run three cards rather than two, or depending on how many days we miss. But the main point is having made a good faith effort, and since that wasn't an objection, I will present both scenarios to, well, what I'll do is I'll forward it to Summer and request that she ask our general counsel. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that's what I'll do. I'll also report out the motion that we just passed a while back about that the PNB should act to make the election at KPFK null and void. I would hope it can be resolved by political means rather than administrative means. I think they would work a lot better, hopefully before that happens. But in any case, I will report it out. And we're out of time.
George, it's Bill.
Yep.
Can you be sure to send those to me, because I'm the one that's actually putting together the agendas for Thursday. And send them to Summer, too, so she can ask for legal opinion.
Well, I'll send the motion to you and to the recommendation to Summer.
Right.
Legal. Okay. Good night, all. Thanks for being here.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.